Lord, we stand before you and we thank you for your word today. You said, Lord, that your word would wash us and cleanse us today. Father, I want to thank you for this word. Lord, I just ask that as we study it this morning, as we look at it, as we read it, that it would come to life to us. Father, like never before. I thank you that the word of God changes us. You said, Father, that it will convert the soul. And I ask, Lord, that you would convert us today in a new, fresh way. I pray that if there's some soul here today, some man, some woman, some boy, some girl, Lord, that does not know you and does not know the power of the risen Lord, that today would be that day for them. I pray that you would awaken them to it. Father, for those who struggle today in their faith, I pray, Lord, that this word would be an encouraging word today. For those who walk in sin today, in rebellion, Lord, I want to pray that this word would bring conviction. And that, Father, with the conviction would come reproof, but with reproof would come healing. And Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've come to do in this time that we come to open the word. So, Father, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see you today. We want to hear you. We want to understand you. And so, Lord, I pray that the anointing of God would rest upon every one of us today, the anointing that will teach us how to abide in Jesus. It's in your name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses is giving the children of Israel the word. It's a recap of the word. He's about to die. This is his last testimony. It's his last time with them. And he comes to chapter 6, verse 4. And he says something very significant in the midst of this book. Matter of fact, it's the most sacred writing, the sacred scripture to the Jew and to the Hebrew of that time and subsequent years. It was the summation of the law. It was the summation of the word. Jesus Christ quoted it when he quoted the great commandment. And this is what he says. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9 for just a moment. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you will teach them, or you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, as they shall be frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." What we find in this passage of Scripture is that the Word of God, that which God has spoken to you through the Word, which God has spoken in those days in Old Testament and in now in these days through Old and New Testament, he says that these words are to be upon our heart. Matter of fact, you look at this passage and it says that it's supposed to be everywhere in your life. Everywhere that you turn, you ought to be seeing it. You ought to be hearing it. You ought to be understanding it. He is saying this word is so important. It is so powerful, it's so strong, that it needs to be on your heart. Matter of fact, when you look at this very first word, hear, hear, O Israel. In the Hebrew, it's called Shema. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Hebrew professor told me, I asked him once, how do you pronounce this word? He says, any way you want. So I'm going to pronounce it, Shema. It's the first word. This whole passage is known as the Shema. And when the lawyer came to Christ, and he said, what is the great commandment? He quoted this passage of Scripture, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It is the most sacred Scripture to the Hebrew. It was the most sacred Scripture in Jesus' day. And why is that? Because it's the instruction of what the Word is all about, or how we're to respond to this Word. And he's saying it's supposed to be all over you. You know, a few minutes ago we had a ministry time. And it was a wonderful ministry time that I think that God called us to this morning. But I'm going to tell you, any amount of ministry time will not wash you. It will not unless it's accompanied by the Word of God. And as we've been talking about this Word and about the character of the Word, or the nature of the Word and the work of the Word, we're finding that it is a very powerful, powerful instrument in our lives. It's how God accomplishes His work in your life. And so He says, even in this Old Testament passage, that this word is so important that it's supposed to be on your heart. It is supposed to be on your heart. Matter of fact, He says, not only is it supposed to be on your heart, it needs to be coming out of your mouth. He says that you are not only to have it on your heart in verse 7, but you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And then not only you teach them, but you'll talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And he says it's supposed to be, you're supposed to bind them on the sign of your hand, and they'll be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. He's saying this word is so important that he's given to you, the God-breathed word of God, that is supposed to cover the entire portion of your life, every area of your life. And I want to tell you, this is why we lack power over sin. This is why we lack power in this world. This is why we've not influenced culture the way we need to influence culture. It's because we're thinking about other things. We have other things on our heart that are more important than the things of God as we find in this word of God. Every one of us knows that the seasons of our lives, that when we were in the Word of God, when we had them in our hearts, when we had them in our head, when we had it at our hand, when we plastered it on our walls and we looked at them, and we had a Bible that was open on the coffee table, and it was opened by the nightstand, and it was opened at the coffee table or at the kitchen table, and it was opened by the telephone. We know those seasons of our lives were some of the most blessed seasons we've ever had. Why is that? Because of the power of God's Word. He says it is to be everywhere in your life. That's the admonition. And the question we've been answering is why? Why is this Word so important? How great is this Word? And we've been looking at Psalm 19, and I want you to turn there, Psalm 19, verse 6 through 11. I think it's interesting. When Moses said, hear this, listen to this, it is such a strong word that it means you listen with great attentiveness to go from reading that word to go to live that word out. That's what the word means. Every time you go to in the Old Testament, the New Testament, when he says, if you have an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. He's saying, listen, this word is strong. It's not just let it come into your ears. Let it come into your ears and your heart, and let it be the overflow of your life that you may live it. Hear, O Israel, he says. Be attentive to the word of God, to do the word of God, not to do something that you do on a regular basis as far as something out of rote or out of memory, but it's something to live on every day of your life. You know, I was amazed a few weeks ago sitting in an apartment in Southeast Asia with those pastors who were writing so meticulously, so attentive. I mean, it was like, it's like that. You know, guys, it's just the way your wives do when you come home at the end. All right? Is that right? Sorry. It's this attentiveness that says, I'm going to do what you say to do, and I want this. I want this in my life. I want it more than anything, Lord, because I know that your word is life. Listen, Israel. Listen, church. Hear this word that I'm saying, he says. Walk in this. You know, I prematurely asked you to turn to 19. Go on and put your place or go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter, that same chapter, chapter 6. Because I noticed something in 6 that's very, very important. In the first verse, he says, this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. Why? That you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it. So that you and your son, your grandson, might fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes, all of them, and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it. Watch. That it may be well with you. We have a great God that wants it to be well with you today. He wants it to go well. Do you think that he wants you just to go well in one area? No, he wants it to go well in every area of your life. He's given you the standard, folks, to live by, to listen to and to obey so that it'll go well with you. You know, as we talked just a moment ago, in those moments, in those times in the Word of God, in those seasons in the Word, wasn't it going well? I mean, the circumstances might not have changed. You might have had still a little bit of financial difficulty and might have some trial going on. But you know that during that time, there was such a great fellowship with your God that overwhelmed everything else. That was so much greater than the worst problem that you had. Well, that's what the Word of God does. And that's the power of it. Why? Why did we do this? Why do we teach it? Why do we speak of it? Why do we have it all over our lives? So that it might go well with us. So it might go well with us. Perhaps one of the reasons why you're struggling today is that you've not been washed by the Word of God. Maybe that's why you're struggling in your marriage, because you've not been washed by hearing it and doing the Word that God calls you to do in those specific areas as a husband and wife. That's just the bottom line. It's just the bottom line of everything. When you turn to Psalm chapter 19, verse 7, you find the wonderful promises of God's Word and its nature and its work. It says in verse 7 that the Word of God is the law of God. It's perfect. It restores the soul. It's the testimony of the Lord, and it's sure, and it makes wise the simple. And the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and light in the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they're righteous altogether, and they're more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We look at this passage of Scripture, we come to the second portion of God's Word, of what God's character and His work is. The first one, it's perfect, it restores the soul. The second thing that we want to look at this morning, that the Word of God is sure, it's the testimony of the Lord, it's sure, and it makes wise the simple. Now, wives, I would suggest you get that verse to put on a refrigerator, and every time you see your husband, you'll have some hope here, okay? That the Word of God makes wise the simple, right? That's a woman's refrigerator verse, okay? Needs to be smart, guys. We need to be smart. But the nature of God's Word is, first of all, it's the testimony of God. This word, testimony, means God's testimony or His witness of Himself. It's the nature, it declares the character of God, and it declares what God is intending to do and why He's designed you and how He's going to fulfill that in your life. That's what His testimony is. We get the word testament from it, the word covenant from it. And when you look at this word, when you look at God's Word, it's a testimony of who He is and what He intends and will do in your life. Second word is it's sure. The word simply means faithful. The word means it's got a strong foundation, that you can count on it, that it's not going to crumble, it's not going to fall, that you can depend on it and it's going to do its work, that God is going to continue to testify about Himself. This word means it's a support. It also means to foster as a parent or as a nurse. The third word that we look at, it makes wise. This wisdom is a practical knowledge. We'll look at the meaning of it in a few minutes. But what he says is this word, this testimony, God's faithful word is so sure that it will make people wise. Who does it make wise? Well, the scripture says it makes the simple wise. Now, what's the simple? Who are the simple? Refers to those, or refers to all of you and me. Refers to all of us. We all come into this world needing spiritual guidance and direction. And it applies to every one of us who by nature are untaught the things of God or untaught the principles of God. And this word comes, it's so sure. What it'll do is it'll teach you and make you wise. It comes from a root word that means to be deceived or to be easily deceived or deluded. I tell you, that's all of us. There's some of us that will believe anything that comes our way. Anything that comes down the pipe, anything that comes down the spiritual pipe, we just want to embrace it all. And I'm going to tell you, that's a mistake. That's being simple-minded. Another word that's related to it is the word stupid. The word stupid. I like to use that word, but it's all over the Scripture. You know, when you look at Jeremiah 51:17, you don't need to turn there. It says, all mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful and there's no breath in them. They are worthless. They're a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they'll perish. You know, whenever you look at this word, stupidity or simple, most of the time it's related to those who follow after idols and the gods of this world. Well, I want to tell you, you don't have to look far to find stupid people if that's what stupid people are, or simple people. And we got a whole generation of people, a whole culture, a whole world that follows after the gods of this world. And he's saying, listen, you are devoid of knowledge and your goldsmith or your idol is going to be put to shame. This molten image, it's deceitful. This image, this thing that you're following after in this life, it'll deceive you and delude you to thinking that it's going to make you happy, but you'll always come up short. And the Scripture says it'll take, this word will take simple-minded people, and He'll make us wise. Romans 1, 22 through 23 says, professing to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Professing to be wise. Now, I love this passage of Scripture because you know what? Every one of us, without Christ, are devoid of the knowledge of God. But you know, it's like last week. You know, we talked about the word converting the soul, and there's lots of people around that don't think they need converting. They think they're okay. Just look for somebody else a little worse than them. It's the same here. I can always find someone a little bit stupider than me. Most of the time. Some of the time. Maybe once in a while. And like my good friend said, his sister told him, he says, we were always taught that we were this much better than everybody else. This much smarter, right? I thought, thinking about that, I said, you know what? We've all been taught that, haven't we? Some way or the other. Maybe not by our parents. Maybe not by our upbringing. Before, boy, we come into this world thinking that we're it. I mean, that's the whole thing of the selfish nature. I mean, a baby, you didn't have to teach a baby to think that he's it. I mean, he comes out of this world it, right? And then those of us who grew up with just nurturing moms and nurturing dads, we were taught to believe that we were it. To always find somebody, and then you grow up in families that say, aren't they stupid? Isn't that horrible? Critical, judgmental. See, we can always find somebody. We can always find somebody a little bit more simple than we are. And the question is, do I believe that I'm simple? Do I believe that without Christ, I'm devoid of knowledge? That I walk in this simplicity of life that is a negative and not a positive? Do I profess to be wise but become a fool by exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God to worship something else in my life more than God? He says, when you do that, you become a fool. But God comes to change all that through His Word. He comes to make us wise men and women, sons and daughters, boys and girls. Wise by the Word of the Lord. Wise by the standards of our God. I mean, that's the greatness of our God. He takes those people that seemingly don't have a whole lot upstairs and then all of a sudden makes them into something that's fabulous and wonderful. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We notice this in the first church, especially the Corinthian church. If you lived in Corinth in this day, it was like, if you were brought up in Corinth, it was like being brought up in New Orleans. Port city, lots of debauchery, lots of junk, lots of sin. This was a sinful place. And when he's speaking to them, he says in verse 18, he says, listen, the word, that's the word of the cross, is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Verse 19, for it's written, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I'll set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. Do you see that? Through the world's wisdom, the world will never come to know God. That's why we don't go to the world. We don't go to the world's principles and promises. They're always devoid. Scripture says they're stupid and devoid of knowledge. Why do we go to these things when the Word and Christ is sufficient for every area of our lives? It says the world, they don't come to know God. They don't know to come to how to please God. Their wisdom is what is foolishness. But God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who are believing. For indeed, Jews asked for signs and Greeks, they searched for wisdom. But we're going to preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, He's the power of God. And here it is, He's the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brother. Watch this now. There were not many of you who were wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. Why? So that no man would ever be able to boast before God. But by his doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, God can do such a great work with simple people, with stupid people, with those that don't seem that they're mighty, according to this world, or wise, or noble. In other words, he says to this Corinthian church, and you know what? He'll go and he'll talk a little bit more in chapter 6, and he'll talk about adulterers and homosexuals and effeminate. He'll talk about swindlers and drunkards. And you know what he'll tell this Corinthian church? Such were some of you. But you were sanctified and you were washed and justified in the name of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Taking that which is one time filthy and then purifying it and making it an object of affection and adoration. That's what our God comes to do. So no matter what you've done in the past that is dumb, stupid, ignorant, that was sinful, that was vile, God comes along and he'll take that and he'll come and he'll erase it out of your life and he'll set within you the wisdom of our great God. But I want to tell you, he'll do that through the Word of God. He'll do that through the testimony of his Word, of his witness, of what he says that he'll do. Question that we want to ask is, how does he do that? How does he make wise the simple? Well, first of all, to be wise, I've got to understand in the wisdom of God, to walk in the wisdom of God, that apart from him, I have no wisdom and that I need him. And it goes back to the principle of this godly sorrow for our sins and this humility that we need to display before God. And so what I want to do is I want to hear God's call to wisdom. God calls us to be wise. Proverbs are filled with it. We're going to look at Proverbs 1:20 in just a second, but notice these passages of Scripture. He says, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect that instruction. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, that's a good one to tell your children. You know, walk with those who are wise, you'll be wise. If you walk with fools, you're going to suffer much harm. I think we heard it this way. You run with a skunk, you'll smell like a skunk, right? So some of us have heard it. Listen, my son, be wise and direct your heart in the way. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad that I might reply to him who reproaches me. Paul told the Romans, the report of your obedience has reached all. Therefore, I'm rejoicing over you. But one thing I want you to do is to be wise in what is good and innocent what is an evil. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Proverbs 1:20. You find this call of the wisdom of God. And then what you'll notice are the benefits of this wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the streets. What's wisdom shouting about? Wisdom's waving its hands and saying, hey, you. I'm over here. This is the right way. Walk in it. It's shouting in the streets. What this Bible's saying is that it's everywhere. If you have your eyes open, you'll see the wise way to walk. And what are the wise decisions that you need to make? It shouts in the street. It waves its hands. It says, here it is. It's lifting its voice in the square. At the head of noisy streets, it cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. And this is what she says. How long, O naive ones, simple ones, stupid ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called, though you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Now notice what he says next. Very sad day. I will laugh at your calamity, mock when your dread comes. And when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, with distress and anguish come on you, then they'll call on me, but I'll not answer. They'll seek me, but they'll not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They wouldn't accept my counsel and they spurned all my reproof. So they'll eat the fruit of their own way, and they'll be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. It shouts in the streets, and it's inviting you every day to live your life the way he calls you to live it. One of the greatest ways in a marriage that the Holy Spirit comes to illumine his word that shouts in the streets is this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's the word of God. That's the wisdom of God, how to walk as a husband. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That's the wisdom of the Lord. Respect your husband. See? Respect. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Hey, guys, this is the wisdom. This is the way. Walk in it. Live with them in an understanding way. Honor them, men. Honor your wives. This is the wisdom of God. It's the word of God. You read it, you apply it, it'll make you wise. You become a wise husband. Dads, moms, raise your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Do not provoke them to anger. Listen, every page of this word will tell you how to live. Just apply it. You don't have to spend hundreds of bucks to find out how to do it. Open the word, do the word. Open the word, do the word. He says that, listen, it's shouting in the street to you. It is calling to you. Notice chapter 3 in Proverbs. I love this passage of scripture. When you look at the whole passage, there's 18 things that God does when you have wisdom in your life. When God, wisdom calls, you receive it. You run to it. You do what the wisdom of God tells you to do. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Watch, verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Isn't that something? We all want to live long, don't we? We all want peace, don't we? Well, here it is. Chapter 3 of Proverbs. Length of days and peace. It says this peace will be added to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart so you'll find favor and good repute. There it is. Favor and good repute. Look at verse 4-5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, your own understanding and your ways are not God's ways without him. And if you want to depend on your own understanding on how to figure things out, you're going to always come short. That's why you got to run to the Word. That's why you got to be in the Word. That's why you study it. So you don't ever know. You know, you might read something this morning and realize 2 weeks later that God reminds you how to act because you read something 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden he prompts you to do it. So he says, listen, you'll have this. Don't lean into your own understanding. Don't look at the way you look through things or the way you've been taught to look. Look through the guise of God. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And here it is. He'll make your path straight. Straight paths for you. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. There's the fifth promise for wisdom. Healing and refreshment. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There's a wonderful giving passage, folks. The reason why so many in the church are desperate in their finances is they've not honored the Lord from their wealth. Did a study 2 days ago on honor and found this verse of Scripture. Matter of fact, when you'll look at the word honor in Scripture, most of the times it talks about giving. That's how you honor God. You give of your time, you give of your finances, you give of your resources. The Bible says if you give to him an offering of thanksgiving, you honor him by that. You honor him also by living the lifestyle. And what is the lifestyle of God? It's a giving lifestyle. And you need to be looking at your spending and your giving of the things that are coming forth from your life. It says, listen, honor him from the wealth, from the first of your wealth. And what he says is, your barns, they'll be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares to her. Verse 16, long life's in her right hand, in her left hand are riches. which is an honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul, and adornment around your neck. And then you will walk in your way securely, and you'll never stumble. And when you lie down, you won't be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Verse 26, the Lord will be your confidence. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Yet he gives grace to the afflicted in verse 34, and the wise will inherit honor. 18, you count them. 18 benefits of the wisdom of God. And God's always saying, just come this way, walk this way, you'll find wisdom. We've got to hear it, gang. We've got to hear that the Word of God is speaking to come to Him to walk in wisdom. Look at the second thing that we do. The second thing is we must understand the true meaning of wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowing the right thing to do. Wisdom is doing the right thing. We've been talking about this through this entire message. Turn to James chapter 3. Notice what he says, who's the wise person. The wise person is not some president of a college who sits up and studies and writes and is published and has the ability to be published. Doesn't make you wise because you have degrees. Doesn't make you a person of understanding because you have your doctorate, or he's got his doctorate, or she has it. The wise person is the one who walks in good behavior and in gentleness of this wisdom. Look at verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? James 3, 13. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant so as to lie against the truth. This wisdom, notice this, gang, two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom that is not from above. He says it's earthly, natural, and demonic. Now, what kind of wisdom is that? It's jealousy is the wisdom of the world. Arrogance is the wisdom of the world. When you look at this passage, selfishness is the wisdom of this world. See, you're a wise person. You're either wise in the world or you're wise in the kingdom. Wise wisdom from below is natural, earthly, and listen to this, demonic. Demonic of the enemy. He says that wherever this selfishness or ambition exists, there's disorder or jealousy. There's disorder in every evil thing. Now look at my life, and if I have a jealous, selfish, or arrogant spirit, I'm walking in the wisdom of that's from below. But he says the wisdom from above, and they're all action words, are pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, full of good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, we can't go there because of our lack of time, but the Bible says, listen, when you do this, the world will, when you follow this word, the world will look at you and say, you got a great God who's given you a great word. There is no other God who could ever give a word like this, who's blessed you with this word. He says that, folks. He says, this is what the world will say of you, that there's no other God like this who's given his people a word like this to live by its statutes and its judgments. It's the promise. It's how you know you're wise. The world sees it and says, what wise people. It's action. It's doing. It's not just knowing. When I apply the biblical wisdom by just walking in the Word, I can sit back and watch it work in my life. I want you to turn to Psalm 119, 97. We're going to close with this passage. I'm about halfway through this message. We're going to pick it up next week. But I want you to give you just kind of a touch of what we'll be talking about next week. Look at Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119, longest psalm, longest passage of Scripture, longest chapter of Scripture in the Bible, 176 verses, all about the Word of God. Read it, study it. It'll change your heart. Notice what David says in 97. Oh, how I love your Word. Let me ask you, do you love the law of God today? Do you love the Word? Notice what he says. It's my meditation all the day. Do you meditate on it? Just like we saw in Deuteronomy. You're to talk about it. You're to speak of it. You're to think about it. When you sit down and when you rise up, when you're on your way, when you sit in your house, you're supposed to be talking about it. It's supposed to be on the doorpost of your doors and on your head and your hand. He says, listen, this is my meditation. I'm meditating all day. And he says, well, notice what it does. There's four things. First thing it does, it makes me wiser than my enemies. And so I'll be victorious over my enemies. Next week, we're going to look at Gideon and David and see how the wisdom of God made the wisdom of the world look foolishness, and how they were victorious over their enemies when they applied the word of God to their lives. Second, he says, is that you will you'll have greater insight than your teachers. And what I want to just say this is that you'll have success in all that you do. Insight from God brings success, gang, in the world, in God's kingdom. And then he says you'll have more understanding than your elders. You'll have more understanding than the aged. And then he says you'll keep away from all that is evil. You know, I think about these last two. You know, a lot of times what makes older people wise is because of all their mistakes. Older people have greater opportunity than a younger person or has had it, right? You know how you get smarter than the older people? You don't walk in the sins that they walked in. You look at the strongholds of your father and your mother and your grandparents and say, I'm not going to walk that way. And all of a sudden, you become more smart than them. Oh, they might have repented, and they might be teaching you that, but you become smarter than them because you've avoided the evil way. And they've learned all their mistakes. That's not to say that I become absolutely, totally perfect, but what it does say is that, listen, I'm not going to walk that way. I'm not going to have that experience. I'm not going to walk in that experience. And what it says is you have greater insight, and you're smarter than the aged. What a great opportunity every one of us have from this moment on to walk in that. And he says these four things that he'll do for you. You will be victorious. You will, he says, you not only will you be victorious, but you will have great insight, and you'll understand more than the aged. You'll learn the lesson before you have to fall. See? What a great God who will protect you, and he'll keep you away from the evil way. You know, what we've been asking at the end of these messages is how do we respond to this word? And we respond by believing the word of God. And like we saw in the earlier part of this message, we put the word in our heart and we speak of it always. And then the third point is that we're careful to do all that's written in it. Joshua was given a call of God to take Moses' place. He was to usher the children of Israel in the promised land. You know what God's instruction was to him? Here's the word, Joshua. Study it, put it on your heart, meditate on it night and day, so that you'll be able to do all that's written in it. He says, then you will make your way successful, then you'll make your way prosperous, and you will have success. You know what the word success is? It's wisdom. It's wisdom. You will be wiser than your enemies. You'll have more insight than your teacher Moses. You'll understand more than the aged. You won't go the evil way. You'll go God's way. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? The Word of God. So certain, so sure, that'll make us wise. Folks, this is a word for every one of us. And I want to ask, how's God speaking to you today? Have you believed the word today? Are you speaking of it? Are you meditating on it? Obeying it? Is it priority in your life? Nothing else will wash you. Nothing else will sanctify you. But this word, as you walk in accordance with it. And I want to ask you, are you in the word? And are you living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father? Scripture promises, 18 promises in Proverbs. Are you walking that promise out today? Are you seeing the life of God manifested in your relationships, with your spouse, with your children, with your friends? See, this will show you how to do it, folks. It'll instruct you in the way you're to go. And you'll find life, every area. It's time to get to the Word. Not to another television documentary. not to another video, not to another psychological teaching, pop psychology. It's time to go to the Word. It's time to move to it, live it, believe it, be absorbed with it, so that it may go well with you. So it may go well with you. You may be here today and you say, you know, I've not been very well spiritually. Our marriage is not very well. Our family's not very well. Oh, we're okay, but it's not where God wants us. And I'd be willing to say and believe that for most of it's because the Bible's a closed book in our lives. Open it, folks. Live it. Move to it. It'll make you wise. It'll convert your soul. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for a greater commitment to the Word of God today. I pray for families today that would make the Word priority in their lives. Father, not just another family devotion, but family living. As husbands and wives live their life out, committed to one another, as they raise their children, as they walk in the principles of holiness, the principles of your Word. Father, I pray for that kind of commitment today that says yes to you, that says yes to your Word. Father, I pray for that kind of stand today. Lord, I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if there's someone here today that is struggling in their faith, that is dry, that is in a dry and weary land where there's no water, that today can be a day for the living, Holy Spirit, living God to flow from their lives with streams of living water. I pray for that river of life today. And I ask, Father, for a certain faith and a certain wisdom that come forth from it. And we thank you for it and we bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.